理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 15 A Walk on the Bottom of the Sea. In this room, we dressed for our hunting expedition. After discovering that this trip would be underwater, Ned was rather upset about the adventure, as he would have no way to escape during this hunting trip, but still joined us. We were then placed in heavy suits made of rubber. The chest area of the suit had another iron covering to protect our lungs from the great pressure at such depths in the ocean. We were nearly 5 fathoms under the surface of the water. Then, copper and glass helmets were placed on our heads. We were now ready for our expedition, but I soon realized that I was unable to move, as the suit and helmet were covered in a great deal of metal, and I discovered that it was impossible for me to walk. Soon enough, however, I felt someone pushing me through another doorway. I then felt water fill the room. Then another door was open, and we were soon on the bottom of the sea, with the captain and another member of his crew. I cannot explain the wonders I saw on that incredible expedition. I was surprised to see that the light of the sun lit up the ocean floor nearly 30 feet below the surface. The ground was flat, and I had no trouble walking in the water. We walked, seeing small sea animals, flowers, rocks, plants, and shells along the way. We saw plants and animals of every color on that expedition, and 30 feet below the surface of the water, the sunlight was still bright. Some time later, however, the ocean floor changed, and we were now walking through a muddy bottom, with long sea plants hanging down from the surface of the water. A short time later, our path began moving downward. Soon enough, the captain pointed to a mass of plants collected together. "It is the forest of the island of Crespo," I thought, and I was right. Chapter 16 A Sea Forest. As we came closer to the forest, I saw that it was made up of large tree-like plants. I was astonished to see the branches of the trees all reaching up towards the sun. There were no broken branches on the sea floor. The sea was calm, and the sea trees were still. Soon after we arrived in the forest, Captain Nemo decided we should rest for some time. I fell asleep looking up at the great sea trees. When I awoke, I was terrified to see a giant sea spider looking at me closely. Captain Nemo noticed this monster as well, and quickly shot the animal. I then saw the giant spider fall from the trees. That animal reminded me that there are many more sea animals I should fear in that mysterious sea forest. I thought this event would end our expedition, but Captain Nemo decided we would continue, and we were soon 75 fathoms below the surface of the water. Captain Nemo turned on the electric lantern, which soon attracted a number of sea animals, curious to see where the light had come from. After a few more hours of walking, we came to a wall made up of rocks. It was the earth. Here was the beginning of the island. We then began our return to the Nautilus. This new path was quite steep, making the walk rather painful. I then heard the captain shoot his gun, and a large sea animal ahead of us then fell to the ocean floor. Captain Nemo then put the great animal over his shoulder, and we continued our journey. After another 2 hours of walking, I was horrified to see 2 sharks nearby. They were terrible-looking animals, with iron jaws that could easily crush a human. Luckily, these terrible monsters did not see us as they swam by, as sharks have terrible sight. Half an hour after, we arrived at the Nautilus. The outer door had been left open, and we entered. Captain Nemo then let the water escape, and the room was soon empty of water. The inside door was opened, and we were taken inside. There, our suits and helmets were taken off, and we returned to our rooms for food and sleep. I thought about our incredible adventure for the rest of the evening until I fell asleep. Chapter 17 4,000 Leagues Under the Pacific Ocean. The next morning, the 18th of November, I went up to the platform early, no longer feeling tired after the long sea adventure the day before. Captain Nemo soon appeared to take observations on our location, but said nothing to me. A few moments later, a number of other men came up to the platform as well. They came from nations all over the world, but on board the Nautilus, only used their mysterious language that I had heard the captain speak. Just after I stepped back into the submarine, the captain turned to speak to me.
"Professor Aronnax,"
he asked,
"do you know the depth of the ocean?"
"I believe the depth in the Atlantic Ocean to be nearly 4,000 fathoms, and about 1,200 fathoms in the Mediterranean. But the deepest levels of the sea are known to be in the South Atlantic Ocean, nearly 7,500 fathoms, or 1¾ leagues."
"Well, Professor,"
replied the captain,
"we shall show you areas deeper than that, I hope."
During the next few weeks, I saw the captain very little. Nearly every day, for a short time, the iron doors in the sitting room were opened, allowing us to observe the wonders of the sea. The Nautilus was traveling southeast, usually sailing between 300 and 450 feet below the surface of the water. By the 27th of November, we had traveled over 4,860 leagues from our starting point. From the 4th to the 11th of December, the Nautilus sailed over 2,000 miles. On the 11th of December, I was busy reading while Conseil and Ned Land watched the sea through the glass windows in the sitting room. Conseil suddenly interrupted me.
"Will Master come here for a moment?"
he said. "What is the matter, Conseil?"
"I want Master to look at something."
I went to look, and discovered a sunken ship in the depths of the ocean. There were still bodies of those that were on board, including the body of a young woman holding a child in her arms tightly. What a sight! Here, we were able to see the last moments of their lives. I then noticed hungry-looking sharks, curious about the human bodies. As the submarine turned, I saw the name of the ship, the Florida Sunderland. Chapter 18 Vanikoro. This terrible sight was the first of many that we were to see while the Nautilus sailed through the common ship routes. On the 27th of December, as I was examining our location on a map, the captain came into the sitting room and pointed to a spot on the map, saying,
"Vanikoro."
I was shocked to hear the word. This was the name of an island off the coast of northern Japan, where explorers had been lost in the late 1700s. Two ships were lost, traveling through the rocky waters near Vanikoro. Their disappearance was known all over the world. The leader of the explorers was a Frenchman. Some time later, the French government sent another ship to the area to discover what had happened. They arrived on the island of Vanikoro to find out from the natives of the island what had happened. At first, the natives refused to speak, fearing the strangers. The explorers soon befriended the natives, however, and discovered that the first explorer had reached the island of Vanikoro after his ship had sunk, after which he built another small boat before again disappearing on the sea.
So, no one knows what had happened to that mysterious boat he built on the island?
Asked the captain with a smile. No one knows. Captain Nemo said nothing, but walked to the sitting room where the iron doors were opened.
I found the spot where that boat was lost,
the captain told me with a smile.